going to get started. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to see all of you here. You have just made me overjoyed. So we're going to start with our time of worship, and we're thankful Dawn has assembled a great group. There is a keyboardist back here, Ray. So this group can see him over here. Yeah, you can peek over there. So like I said, lyrics will be up here, and we're going to try it by standing. The lyrics will all appear right up here, so you should be able to see over the tall people in front of you. Sound like a plan? Why don't we stand and let's join together in worship.
Thank you. Dear Lord, we come before you. We thank you for your love, for your mercy, for everything that you've given us, Lord. And we just with grateful hearts, we come before you this morning as your people. And we love you. We exclaim hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Before, oh my soul, I worship.
just beginning anew. This is the song that both Pastor Mark and I had been playing in our heads, like, this, we need to have a new song. And so when we came to meet and kind of do some planning, I had this song in my head, and he's like, I think we should do this song. I was like, I think you're right. So, this is like the bass theme song.
This is that uncomfortable moment for all of you shy introverts.
Yeah,
we got a train full of people.
I
We'll do a couple of things. Okay, now we're going to do the, just so you know, I know it's a little chaotic the first Sunday, but it's kind of a fun chaotic. It's kind of an exciting chaotic. So this is what we do have upstairs. We do have two things that will be going on. We do have a nursery, so that if you have little ones, wee ones, Irene is going to be watching the kids up there, and it's going to be awesome. And in that same room, Heather and Kelly are going to be leading the kids' ministry. So if there are kids kindergarten through fifth grade that want to go with them now, you can go and do that now. So there you go. Is anyone? No one's leaving. Oh, a couple of people are leaving. Yay. We love you, little kids, but we need your chairs. And again, if you need the nursery, there is a nursery upstairs. But also, as you know, I'm one that I don't care if kids are here or if wee ones are here, because I have a microphone and I'm louder than all of you combined. So yeah, if you kids think you're louder than me, you're not going to be. So, fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, this was kind of an interesting morning, to say the least. We get here, we're setting stuff up. We were missing some cables, so we had to go get that. PowerPoint completely crashed. I had to start recreating that. I lost the cable that communicated from the laptop to the projector. And thankfully, Craig walks in with an old projector, and in it has an S-Video cable, the very thing I need, so yay. And then tables and chairs, and we're sorry that we had the air conditioner on literally full blast, so, and I have not been talking, so there's not been a lot of hot air, I promise you. So we're very excited. Now what's going to be happening after the kids, they're going to be up there during the sermon time. At the end of the sermon time, we're going to bring them actually downstairs, because during there's two communion songs. And the way we've got it, this is another thing we set up last minute. So where did we set them up at? So we got one over there. Do we have one back there?
No.
No, there should be three total. Are there three total?
There's one over here.
There's one over here, but there's not one back there.
No, that's
Are there two over there?
Yeah.
There's two over there. Okay. At the same table?
Yeah, there's two.
Oh, we'll spread those puppies out. How about this? Why don't we grab one of those and we're going to bring it over to that side.
No, we've got two. There's two right here.
Two trays there? Oh, we just need to split them.
We get four trays.
Okay, so we'll just split them up in terms of the tables. So during the communion time, the band will be singing, and again, there'll be no lyrics up on the screen. My deepest apologies. So we're going to do that, and during that time, we're going to be doing some laying on of hands through the Book of Numbers. It's been great. We've learned some stuff. So the first song, as you're taking communion, I'm also going to be up here just sitting. If you would come and lay your hands on me, that would be great. If you're like, that's really creepy and I don't want to touch you, that's cool too. But if you want to come up, you want to pray for me, or if you just want to pray silently in your head, that's fine too. It does not matter. Then during the second song, we're going to be bringing up our board of directors and our kids' ministry in order to lay hands on them. And so that's what we'll be doing, and I'll be making announcements during that time. Then we finish with a closing song. Sound like a plan? I can't tell you, this is just exciting. I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to get to this. Let's pray. Lord, new beginnings are fantastic. What a joy they are to have. And I thank you for this new beginning with this new church that you have called together. Lord, I'm overwhelmed just because you brought us on a journey, and it's been an interesting journey. And we're thankful that you have brought us to this point so that we might worship you, and we might be free in praising you and thanking you. I thank you for the people that decided to come and pack themselves into a room where air conditioning's not on really well. And I just thank you. And it's exciting. It's a thrill. It's such a joy. And I praise you for what you have done in this time. So Lord, now as we look through Numbers 1 through 12, we pray that you would give us guidance and insight into your word so that we might be able to launch this not according to our desires, but according to your will, not for our own edification, Lord, but only for your glory. And may our light point to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I still haven't found my Bible, so thankfully I sent this to my wife, and she had it on her iPad, so at least I got my notes, so I'm thankful for that. If you have, you know what might be helpful, can I steal your Bible? But then what are you gonna share? Look at that, that's beautiful. Perfect. All right, yes. Oh, that was the other thing, offering, because the offering box still has not shown up, and I have no idea, like, it says that it was supposed to be delivered this past week, and there was other equipment, so it's not here. So what we're going to do is, what was that?
Just throw money.
Just throw money. Yeah. That would be really creepy. Yeah, that's a little weird. Yeah, yeah. We are, there we go, we just use a box, there we go. So where are we going to put it? We're going to put it next to Jason, because that means that if you don't put anything in, Jason will glare at you. I'm just kidding. No, if you know anything about me, an offering, if you brought an offering, that's great. If you haven't, that's fine too. This is not but a lot of people have been wanting to give, and that's a great thing. So at any time, just simply drop it off. You know, there's no, we don't do like an offering time, so it's just whenever. Yes? Oh yeah, well, and then you can also, oh, that's not a bad idea, over by the frame too, because then you can also sign, because we do, this is a historic moment, and in 2001, when we launched Searchlight the first time, I mean, I took pictures, and some of those pictures are very meaningful to me, and so I'm kind of just imprinting this on my brain, so being able to sign that would just be such a wonderful thing for me. So again, thank you. As we've been on this journey, through the book of Numbers. For those of you who have not been with us, we've been doing a Bible study on Sunday mornings, and we've been going through the exciting book of Numbers. And it was really cool because I was actually just with some Yorba Linda pastors just this past Thursday, and they were so wonderful because I was telling them what was going on, and they prayed for us. One of them even came here, and so I'm thankful that Jim's here to be with us. And I'm just overwhelmed. And it was really great because we got into a discussion about the book of Numbers, and how it must be, I think, the most popular book in the Bible, because everyone just loves to read the book of Numbers. And it's been one of those things that every week when I've prepared the study, I have gotten to the point where I think that every single chapter could have been the opening chapter to Searchlight. Every single time we went through, it was like, man, that is such a great lesson. I really wish that would be the opening lesson. And then the next week, well, that's another great lesson. And then that's another great lesson. It's been fantastic. So I was talking with Brian, and he's like, well, hey, why don't you do a recap of Numbers 1 through 12 of the major lessons we've learned, how they impact Searchlight, and also how they impact us as individuals. And so I thought that was a brilliant idea, because some of you are like, I don't know Numbers 1 through 12, and that's great. And again, it only takes about 20 minutes per chapter. So, how long do we have the building to? They'll be kicking us out. I'm just kidding. We're going to skim through it, but these lessons are, in my opinion, some of the greatest things. So I invite you to turn, if you got Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, use your phone. I know you've got it on your phone. Don't lie. And you may have brought your iPad. It's on your iPad, too. If it's not on your iPad, get it on your iPad, BibleGateway.com. You can get them. Very simple. I have a thing on it. We're going to start Numbers 1, and what we're going to do is we're going to be skimming through these chapters, because I wrote down what I thought were some of the most important, pertinent passages in the book of Numbers. What is Heather's password? Can you go get Heather's password? No, I don't know what it is. It's not that.
Mark, the Wi-Fi here is 6500.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, because you guys stay here. Yeah, so if you need the Wi-Fi password, it's 6500. Bill all things to room 412. Oh, you already changed rooms already? Okay. Oh, well, I got a Bible. I just need my notes that's been on the iPad. So I already know the first, but hopefully we'll get that here. So Numbers chapter 1, are you all there? No, I do not have my notes. Let's tell a joke. I'm just kidding. There we go. First one. We're going to be verse 3. Numbers chapter 1, verse 3. You and Aaron are to number by the divisions all the men in Israel, 20 years old or more, who are able to serve in the army. Oh, are you serious? The man is covered in blood. If you need to know, it's 7777. So, yeah. So you can hack her iPad later. Take a bunch of selfies, and that'd be really awesome. The book of Numbers is all about a journey. A lot of people think that the book of Numbers is all about numbers. It's not about numbers. There's censuses that are being taken throughout the book of Numbers, and it starts off with the first two chapters, which for a lot of people are extremely boring. But there's a point in what Numbers is trying to communicate. It is trying to convey, it is the release of the captives from Egypt, the Israelite nation, into the land of promise. So they are supposed to be gathering, forming, getting ready to move up into the promised land. It was only supposed to take a couple weeks to get there. Some problems happen later on where they end up doing a couple laps around the Sinai Peninsula. Here we see them starting to organize because they've come out, they've got the Ten Commandments. Remember, Charlton Heston came down and he gave the Ten Commandments, and all the little kids like, Charlton Heston? Did I use that joke already? Yeah. I might have already used that joke. And so they came down, and Moses presented that, and they're organizing, and they're trying to figure out, what do we do? And I know that that's how a lot of people view life. It really is a challenging thing whenever I talk to people about their lives. So many times we don't ever stop and say, what are we doing in life? It is the biggest question we wrestle with as human beings. What is our purpose? Why were we even formed? What are we even supposed to be doing in life? Because we know deep down in our core that there is supposed to be something more than just this life that we're living, where we wake up, we go to school, or we go to work, we hang out with our friends, we come home, we do homework, or we do chores, or we make dinner, and then we clean everything up, and then we go to bed. And after a while, that just becomes really numbing. And people wonder, what else are we supposed to be doing? And this is what the book of Numbers, and even just Christianity in general, is supposed to be teaching us. The book of Numbers is about a journey, which is why it's great. And why are you here? Numbers 1:3 says that when they were organized, they were designed to be an army. You are designed to fight. The question is, who are you going to fight? May I make a suggestion that you should not be fighting the people sitting around you? That you're not even supposed to be fighting the people around you that you don't like? That you're not supposed to be fighting your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend or friends or classmates or coworkers? Our fight is not supposed to be against people. It's supposed to be against evil. It's supposed to be against the devil. It's supposed to be against those things that would keep us away from God. That's what we're supposed to be fighting. But so often we take our misguided natural design to be warriors and we use it to attack the people around us. And that's a problem. But that's how God designed us to be. And that's why when they were gathered together, now some of you might be thinking, but I'm not a fighter. I don't really, that's not really in my DNA. It really actually is. Because these people who came out were slaves. They were farmers. They were brick makers. They didn't have any fighting experience. In fact, they made sure that they didn't have, the Egyptians made sure they didn't have any experience. But God says when you come out, then it's going to be time to fight. Because as you go through this world, you're going to experience conflict, right? Have you experienced conflict? Anyone here experienced any conflict? Yeah, we all experience it. And so the question is, what are we going to do with it? How are we going to battle? And God says, I'm going to be with you to help those battles. He even says, when you go out to battle, I'll go first. And I will make sure and pave the way for you. Every time the Israelites got into trouble was when they said, I think I'll go and fight myself. I think I'll go and do all the battles on my own without utilizing such things as prayer or reliance upon God. And that's when they got into trouble. So learning first and foremost that you are designed to fight. And that is what Searchlight is designed to do. We are designed to fight. Who are we fighting? Other churches? Never. Ever. Ever, ever. Not other churches, not other entities. It is an important. There was a story told of a pastor who was just new into town, and so he called up one of the local area pastors And he said, hey, can you help me out? I need to drive around the city. I need to learn about it. He said, sure. So they got together and he drove around. And he said, can you help me out? I need to see my competition. And this wiser, older pastor did something amazing. He drove him through the neighborhoods. He says, there's your competition right there. Everyone's comfortable bed on Sunday morning. And then he drove him to the bars. He says, there's your competition too. There's a lot of people that go there. And they drove him to the parks where the soccer games were at and said, there's another competition. It isn't about driving to other churches and saying, how can we be bigger and better than the people around us? That is irrelevant. That does no good whatsoever. And that is what Searchlight is going to be about as well. You will never hear me slam other churches, ever. And I find it highly inappropriate when it happens. We are here for one reason, and that is to make hell less populated. And here, when we gather, we get equipped, and we learn, and we battle, and we put on stuff, and we learn so that all of us then can go into the ministries that God has called us, whether that's into our schools, into the high school dances, into our jobs, into our neighborhoods, so that we can hopefully shine a light to those people. You were designed to fight. And it's going to be exciting because I will be fighting right along with you. So that's chapter 1. Chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2:17. 2:17. And by the way, I should also say, this will not be how we do church every week. Typically what I do is I go through a chapter each week. So next week, we will be going through Numbers chapter 13, verse by verse, and learning it. But for today, we thought we'd do the overview. So Numbers chapter 2, verse 17. Then the tent of meeting and the camp of Levites will set out in the middle of the camps. They will set out in the same order as they encamp, each in his own place under his standard. If you read through chapter 2, what you find out is there was an organization that was supposed to be placed. When they stopped and they set up the tabernacle, they had specific rules of where everyone was going to be. Some were going to be to the north, some to the south, some to the east, some to the west. But the most important lesson to learn from that is God must be the center. When we are sitting around, hanging out, God is the center. And what we also learn is when they started marching, what went first? God. So when we're moving forward, God should not be in the center, right in the middle where he's kind of irrelevant to our lives. He's supposed to be out in front. So if you are on the move and you are marching, God is out in front. But when we are sitting and enjoying life, God is to be at the center. He is not supposed to be the dusty book on the bookshelf that we have no contact with or no connection with. Now, I know this is hard, right? I know that we have short memories, and we often forget where God is supposed to be placed. We start doing stuff. We just get into the habit of life, and we fail to see that God is supposed to be in the middle. How do we do this in church? It's real simple. God is at the center. Jesus is at the center. You will find when we go through these even Old Testament passages, you'll find Jesus. It's like a giant Where's Waldo book. If you look, you will see him. He is in there, yet so many times we ignore Old Testament because we don't readily see Jesus. All throughout it, and if you've been with us through Numbers 1 to 12, you've seen how Jesus shows up every single time. He's made that promise. So what is Searchlight going to be about? It's going to be about Christ. It's going to be about Jesus. It's not going to be about me. If ever about me, please run for the hills. Please privately message me and say we need to talk. Whatever it takes so that I'm not at the center, that you're not at the center, that Bob's not at the center, the most important person in SearchLightMinistries.com, that Jason is not at the center, because Jason loves the attention. If you know Jason, he doesn't. He's like, please don't look back at me. Everyone look back at Jason. We're not at the center. The band's not at the center. The projection's not at the center. I'm not at the center. Jesus is at the center. If you want to learn about God, Searchlight is a great place. If you want to grow in your faith and learn to fight, Searchlight is a great place. If you're coming for any other thing, you might end up becoming disappointed with what's going on. Jesus Christ is supposed to be at the center. He'll be at the center of our board meetings. He'll be at the center of our congregational meetings. He'll be at the center of our worship services. When we sing, who are we singing to? Not to ourselves. We're singing to God. We're singing about God. We're proclaiming His goodness, His grace in our lives. And that should also then be for us as well. When we go out, what do people get? You know, if you got to imagine a little kid, and he's got a big old glass of milk, and it's filled right to the brim, and you bump into, what are you going to get all over you? You need the milk all over you. How filled up are you with Christ? Are you filled up to the brim with Christ, and when people bump into you, they get Jesus all over them? That's how we are to be. That's how God designed us to be. So God is at the center of our lives. God is going to be at the center of this church. Chapter 3. Chapter 3 and 4 I'm putting together. Chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring the tribe of Levi and present them to Aaron the priest to assist him. They are to perform duties for him and for the whole community at the tent of meeting by doing the work of the tabernacle. They are to take care of the furnishing, the tent of meeting, fulfilling the obligations of the Israelites by doing the work of the tabernacle. Give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are the Israelites who are to be given wholly to him." Priesthood has a purpose. I've got a job. And I'll tell you what my job is going to be. My job is to equip you so that you go out and do your job. So often we think that the pastor is the key to everything, right? Who is the one that's supposed to be doing the major lifting when it comes to prayer? Pastor? No. Who's the one that's supposed to be doing the heavy lifting when it comes to inviting people to come to church? Pastor? No. Who is it that's supposed to be helping set up or worship or even study your work, your Bible? Who's that? That's not me. I will assist, but I'm not going to do everything. And I'll just tell you right now, it's been exciting because every time I've sent out pleas for stuff, people just jump in. And that's what it's designed to do. There are no spectators here at this congregation, okay? We had a saying before, and I would love to reinvigorate it, which is, welcome to Searchlight, here's the toilet brush. Yeah. Amen. The idea is you come and there's stuff to be doing. And let me tell you, even this morning, I don't know if you saw it, you know, I'm in the back there and I've got like 20 people coming up and asking me questions, which is great, I'm fine. But then we had too many people show up, so we had to have extra chairs. Did I unload any chairs? No, people just jumped in and grabbed it. We had to get another table. David ran and grabbed the table, set that up. Other people were doing this. Other people were grabbing this. Let me tell you, it's exciting to watch the body move. I have a function, and my function is to equip you to do the work. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm lazy. I don't want to do the work. That's your job. I'll be doing the work with you. Trust me, it is always a fun thing. So I've got a job, and you've got a job. You are the warriors. You are the fighters. We equip, we worship, and then we go out and we do the battle. So that is what I love from chapters 3 and 4. The priesthood has a purpose. Chapter 5. Prepare for purity. Chapter 5, verse 3. Send away male and female alike. Send them outside the camp, so that they will not defile their camp where I dwell among them. It is so important that we talk about what it means to be pure in God's eyes. This, so many people get wrong, and it drives me nuts, is being pure when it comes to being around God about us. No, if you need to remember, go back to the previous chapter. Who is it about? It's about Jesus. So it's Jesus that provides the purity. It's Jesus that provides the cleansing. That is important for all of us to realize. You guys are a mess. I mean, I look around and I think, man, I know so many of your guys' sins. It's terrible. Now, what's also awesome is you guys know me. And a bunch of you are like, you're also an idiot too. And you are right. I make mistakes. I have issues. I have problems. We all have things that are in our life that make us unclean and impure. The problem is if we don't take care of it. If you just simply go on living your life, not caring about cleansing, not caring about what it means to be righteous and pure in God's eyes, then you will be in trouble. You are defiled. So what does that mean then? We come to Jesus. And when we are experiencing Him and when we are around Him, we get the cleansing that He provides. He provides the purity. So when you come, am I expecting your life to be perfect? No. But I do expect that all of us are leaning on God. Because when we lean on God, we have that. So prepare for purity, because Searchlight is going to be about purity. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, you can just look at the heading if you want. This is all about the Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow is very important. Because in it we learn an important lesson. We are supposed to have our lives given wholly and completely over to Him. And when we studied number 6, an important lesson came through, which was, if these people who took this Nazarite vow were going through their vow and ended up messing up, God did not come down with a lightning bolt and kill them all. Instead, He says, that's fine, start over again. Which is a great lesson, because God allows for do-over. I went to, some of you saw on Facebook, my wife and I went to Camelot golf, right? And did you see all the pictures where I got holes in one? And I did win, by the way, and my wife is a sore loser. she's not here, so I can say that. But if you want to go onto Facebook and go to my page, you'll see that she's posted about me. And like all of the posts that say that she's a sore loser and that I'm the greatest, okay? That'd be very helpful for me. It was very interesting, because as we're doing it, we're starting off, and you know how it is with mini golf, right? I don't know how to really play that well. I'm not a golfer. Jacob's taken lessons, so I was expecting him to toast us all. But that first hit is always the hardest, isn't it? You're looking up at that stupid windmill, and it's swirling around. You're like, where am I supposed to hit it? You're trying to study, like, I don't know. So you take the first thing, and usually you just either whack it too hard or too soft. And we had a rule when we were playing. First hit was always a do-over, because everyone always messed it up. You are going to mess up in life. But what it means to give yourselves wholly to God is not, I'm going to give myself wholly to God until I mess up, and then I'm just going to give up on this whole thing. That should never be the case. Hopefully that will be nothing that you ever experience. Learning what it means to live in the grace and forgiveness of God, learning what it means to say, yeah, I did mess up, but God is a God of grace. He always has been, He always will be. And you'll find it quickly, especially in the Old Testament, some people do this dichotomy with God. The God of the New Testament is loving and kind and caring, and the God of the Old Testament is angry and mean and vindictive. Nothing could be further from the truth. What you see throughout all of Scripture is that God is a God of grace. And Numbers chapter 6 highlights that whole concept of the do-over. Numbers chapter 7. Are you serious? Yeah, number 7, verse 84. I looked at that and I thought maybe that was a typo. Yeah, chapter 7, verse 84. You're like, there's 84 verses in 7? Yes, it was. I think we might have gone wrong that way. I'm not sure. Probably not.
That's
I don't
repeating.
Think it's that long. Numbers chapter 7, verse 84. These were the offerings of the Israelite leaders for the dedication of the altar when it was anointed. 12 silver plates, 12 silver sprinkling bowls, 12 gold dishes. This whole chapter 7 is all about how the people gave. Again, Searchlight is not going to survive without you. I can't do everything. I'm not designed to do everything. I can't do everything. Having other people come and give. And again, this isn't about money. It is, but it isn't. It's about how do I serve God in His local church in a way that makes the church thrive. And that's what number 7 is all about. How do I give of myself? Sometimes we have money and it's great. Sometimes we don't. And there's nothing we can do about it. Sometimes we have time. Some of you have more time, which is fantastic, because I don't have a whole lot. I need you. Some of you have the ability to hang out with kids. I don't like kids. Just kidding. I got 3 of my own, so I gotta be careful. I love you, Bubba. Some of you love to hang out with kids. Already, I don't know if you're aware of this, the kids' ministry already has enough people serving in it that every team is going to serve once every 2 months. Holy smokes! Where other churches are like, please, hang out with our rotten children. We got volunteers coming out the wazoo. I sent out something for the nursery. And already people are saying, we'll do the nursery. That sounds great. That's wonderful. Communion bread. We've already got the communion bread rotation done. It's fantastic. There are so many people that are doing so many jobs. That's what it means to give. Some of you have money. That's great. Some of you have time. That's great. Some of you have talents. That's fantastic. Learning what it means to then leverage those in order to expand the kingdom is huge. And I'll tell you that that's what we're going to be about. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 10. Chapter 8, verse 10 says, "You are to bring the Levites before the Lord, and the Israelites are to lay hands on them." This is another one of those things about what it means to support, and that I tell you, I've already experienced in spades here in this very short amount of time, which is why later on, for the first opening communion song, I'm going to just be sitting up here, and many a times when you have, if you've ever, has anyone been to like an installation service of a pastor? Been to a couple? What typically happens is people gather, and then the pastors gather around the other pastor and lay hands on. And it's usually a competition to see who has the wittiest things to say in the shortest amount of time, because that's how pastors are. We're all a bunch of egomaniacs. And so it's really sad, because I've often watched that going, why, where are the people? Because is he being installed in a church and the area pastors are going to be there every week? No. He's going to get installed and the people are there every week. And so the idea is the laying on of hands, and when we talk about it, it does a couple of things. Probably the biggest thing is the laying on of hands imparts the Holy Spirit. And that is your job to impart it. To me, I impart it to you, we impart it to one another. So that is why we had decided quite a while ago, like I said, I think it was George was the first one that came up to me saying, when we do the installation service, I sure hope that you do it the way they did it in Numbers. And I said, that's brilliant, and I think we're going to. So that's why later on, you have the chance, because I need you to help support me. I'm going to support you however I can. You know that. You can email me, you can text me, you can call me. You know, whatever it takes to get my attention, and I'll always be there for you. And I also need you, because I tell you, I cannot do it without you. So we're going to have that time of consecration of the head leader. That'd be me. But I'm not the only one. We're going to see that here in just a little bit with some of those. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. Verses 1 through 3. "The Lord spoke to Moses in the desert of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt. He said, 'Have the Israelites celebrate the Passover at the appointed time. Celebrate it at the appointed time at twilight on the 14th day of this month in accordance with all its rules and regulations.'" At this time, what had happened is the Israelite nation had been in existence for about a year. They came out, they celebrated Passover. That was the vehicle, the mechanism of salvation that got them out of Egypt into freedom. So when they showed up a year later, as they're getting ready to organize and move out, God said something very important. Remember where you came from. Don't ever forget your roots. And the roots that you have goes back to chapters 3, which is, God is at the center. So you're going to hear me talk a lot. If Jesus bores you, I would invite you not to come, because you're going to get really bored. If Jesus is not something that is important, I'm going to be dispensing that, because it is so important for us when it comes to remembering the Passover. We're also going to be doing it. We have done it in the past, and I love it. I personally love to enjoy celebrating communion every week. So that's what we're going to be doing every week. Because there's times that we need to slow down. Anytime we celebrate communion, the most important thing you need to remember is that it's about your salvation. That Jesus Christ died and rose again. And the meal that he gave us as New Testament Christians was communion, tied directly to Exodus 12 and the Passover. So we need to be reminded every week. And if something happens, and I do a horrible job with the text, and I don't even say the name Jesus throughout the sermon, I'll tell you this much. We still will be celebrating, because every week we're going to be celebrating communion. That's how important it is. What does this mean for you? I think that we lose sight of Jesus being the center of our lives so often. I run into people who feel down and depressed and have low self-image. But because then we've lost the sight of how much God loves us. We end up getting caught in sin and we don't feel like repenting. Well, that means we've lost sight of the fact that God's already forgiven us and given us his grace and his mercy. We discipline our kids. And where is Jesus in that? Are we remembering that God rescued us, and so we give grace and mercy, sometimes discipline, but always with grace in it? How do we treat our friends? Do we treat them like garbage? Do we make fun of them? I tell you, it's an interesting thing, because I've watched kids be mean to kids. I was doing it at a little youth sports thing, and there were these three girls, and they were sitting there just chit-chatting, and a guy walked by and was going to go up and like try to like just make a little small talk, like, hey, how's it going? And the girls looked, and I was standing like right next to him, and the girls looked at him and just said two words, move along. And I went, whoa, my goodness gracious. Do we treat each other in ways where that we're remembering that we have been saved, or do we look at ourselves as better than everyone else? I'm telling you, learning what it means to have God as the center and that we're remembering our Passover, so important. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, verses 31 to 32.
Yeah.
Those of you listening to this recording, you just heard the kids singing up, or screaming upstairs. Either they're all dying, or they're having a great time. Now all of you are like, I better go check on my kids, because they sound like they're having a lot more fun than me down here. No, you will stay here. Chapter 10, 31 to 32. But Moses said, but please do not leave us. You know where we should camp. In the desert, and you can be our eyes. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us. This is a conversation that Moses is having with Hobab. And Hobab was one of those that was going to stay behind. They had gotten everything organized, they're getting ready to go out, and Hobab, which happens to be his brother-in-law, says, I think I'm going to stick behind. And Moses actually goes and pleads with him, saying, we need you. We need you. That's what I need, too. I need you. This is the first step, holding public worship. And this is when things get really exciting and it's really fun. And then we're going to be doing this for a while. And maybe some people will grow weary, or some people say, well, I don't know if I can worship in a hotel. And, well, I don't know if I like the people that are coming because they look weird. It's not fun. I need you to go on this journey with me. I can't tell you how excited I am. And if I end up taking the journey alone, I will. But I can't do any of this stuff without you guys. You are so important and so crucial. And that's what we need others to learn too. That's what it means when it comes to the church. But more importantly, it also means that we are on a spiritual journey. For us who call Jesus Christ our Savior, there are others who do not know Jesus as their Savior. And they need to know. You do realize they're going to hell without it, right? I know I'm not supposed to say that word. It's a bad word. It's not a feel-good message. Let me tell you, I really don't care. There's people out there that don't know who Jesus is. And if that's you, then all I can say is I want you to take this journey of Christianity with me. Take it with all of us. Take it with those around you who are also Christians. And that means the surrender. That means I give up myself to have Jesus as being the center of my life. And I will take this journey. There are going to be other people. Let me tell you. If Searchlight never grows, but the kingdom of heaven grows, I'm good with that. Because that's what I care about the most. What I care about is people coming to know Christ. And if they know who Christ is, then they're on a great journey with us. You know people. I know people that do not go to church, that are not part of the Christian faith. And are we inviting them? Are we saying, well, you should take this journey with us? Don't preach at them. Don't scream at them. Don't yell at them. Just say, journey with us. Chapter 11. Holy cow, fast enough going through the Old Testament. Chapter 11, verse 17. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. This ties back to some of the other lessons as well, and that is we need you and we need other people. Again, I am not the smartest person in the world. I am not the greatest leader around. There are other people who will be a part of the leadership of the church. Some of them will be in official capacity. Maybe they will be part of the board of directors or the board of care. Maybe they'll be volunteering up with the kids or helping set up and tear down stuff. Well, what we need is we need everyone to do their job, which is why during that second song, I'm going to invite the board of directors and those who have volunteered for kids' ministries. And by the way, if you don't know this, that is, to me, up there in terms of which ministries are crucial and key for a church, kids' ministries, which is why I'm thankful my wife has already found so many people, and already so many people volunteering. What a great thing. So during that second song, we're going to have them come up, and we want the Spirit to be imparted on them, right? Do I have veto power in this church? You said that way too quickly. you are correct. I do not have veto power in this place. I am not the end-all, be-all. I need people around me who are wise, spiritual, people who are willing to step up and say, I'll give counsel, I'll give aid. And the Spirit is going to reside with us all. And there's this interesting story. This whole story all relates around how the Moses was complaining that he couldn't carry the burden alone, so 70 people were chosen to help carry the load with them, and two of them, for whatever reason, didn't show up. I think it's because they're lazy, because they were guys. But these two people didn't show up to the meeting of when the Spirit was going to come, and God's Spirit still went on them as well. And then I'm hoping and praying it happened today, because we have our board of directors who are going to be, like I said, installed today. And several of the board members could not be here. They had already made plans to be out of town. So they are elsewhere, which is great, and that's wonderful. But I am certain that God's Spirit, when we lay hands on these here, that God's Spirit will be also imparted to them. So let me tell you, I'm thankful for the people who have stepped up to be a part of the board of directors. It is going to be great.
This is
Numbers chapter 12. Verse 2. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. What is going to happen? I'm waiting for it because I know it's going to happen. Whenever movements or groups get started, there is almost immediately opposition that Satan tries to insert to cause conflict or dissension. That is going to happen. I am anticipating that it's going to happen here. I don't know how the form it's going to be when it shows up. For the Israelite nation, it came in the form of Moses' siblings. So, thankfully, my two sisters don't come to church here, so we won't have that issue for literal siblings. But it does happen in other ways, where some people start getting jealous, saying, well, why do you get to call the shots? Why do you get to do this stuff? Why are you the leader on this? And Aaron and Miriam learned a very important lesson about how toxic dissension is. That's important. It's not about disagreement. I routinely expect you to disagree with me. I'm going to be telling that to the board of directors at the very first meeting. I expect you to say, Mark, I think you're wrong. We should do something else. Because disagreements are healthy. Dissension is not. And the big difference in that is, do we have enough trust with one another that you and I can just speak to each other frankly? And that, I tell you, is so important. I want you to feel comfortable coming to me and talking to me about things that are important. Feel free to disagree. What I will not tolerate is you taking it to Facebook. Yeah. Or to the internet, or to your friends and spreading among there. Because that's what we see with Moses having to deal with Aaron and Miriam. What does this mean also for us in our spiritual personal lives? You are going to be in conflict. It goes all the way back to chapter 1. You're going to be in fights. Learning how to treat each other with mutual respect is just absolutely crucial. Learning what it means to be able to go to your friend and say, you know, I love you, but I've got to disagree with you. But to do that in a loving way. And if you ever need a primer on it, it's real simple. Read Matthew 18. Step 1, go to the person. Step 2, if that's not good, get other spiritual people to correct them. If that doesn't work, bring more people. We're masters of step 3. Someone has a problem, the first thing we normally do is broadcast it to everyone else to see if we can have an overthrow and kick someone out. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's not how it's supposed to be in your life, too. You will experience conflict with your friends, with your family, with your spouse, with your boyfriend, girlfriend, with classmates, with teachers. Oh, yes. And with your students, if you're a teacher. And learning how to treat each other with disagreements, not dissension. These are the lessons of Searchlight Ministries. These are things that we are going to be holding strong to. This is the journey that we're going to be on. And I'm excited to take the very first step with you today. And then as we continue on, may we always come back to these lessons, these guiding principles of who we are and what we're about. And in this journey that we call life, in our spiritual life, may the journey we take be just like this as well. May you be filled with God's grace and with His mercy and with His love. And may we fix our eyes on Jesus, who has given us everything. Let's pray. Lord God, again, I cannot thank you enough for what you do. I cannot thank you enough for how you brought us to this place, to this space, to this location, so that we might gather and worship, so that we might take communion, so that we might care for one another and love one another, that we might start this wonderful thing. And may it be done always in propriety. May we do it always for your glory. And we just thank you for this time to study Scripture a little bit in a different way. And Lord, we look forward to next week when we get to dig in and check out chapter 13. Call us all back, Lord, by your grace and mercy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So what we're going to do now is our time of communion. The way we're going to be doing communion today, too, so did we get them spread out? So we got a tray there and a tray over there. Oh, fantastic. So again, this is what I would call, I don't know what to call it, so I've called it self-serve communion. It's not fast food communion. It's not going to be coming through in a line and it's not going to be anything like that. You're going to go and you're going to enjoy on yourself. There should be, I think there's four places that you can go to. No one's going to usher you there. You just simply go when you feel ready to go. During the first song, which I think is a little bit longer. Is that right, Don? She's going to watch. And like I said, I'm going to be up here. I'm going to pull a chair forward. I do invite you, if you could come up and just pray for me. You don't have to pray out loud. It doesn't have to be long. You can come up and just lay your hands on me. But that will be my form of installation. I don't have anyone else here that's going to be installing me as pastor here. This is going to be you guys installing me. Yes? Oh, is the bread not spread out yet? Is the bread all over there? Oh, fantastic. There should be four plates. There's three? There, you know what? I think there's a fourth place. Let's split that up and we'll do the four plates. Thank you. That would have been really awkward. So I'm going to sit up here, come up and pray for me, and this will serve as my installation. What you're saying is, I install. Now, if you come up and whack me in the back of the head, then that means I hate your guts and I don't want to be pastor here. And if that's the case, then I'm going to make you sit down and we'll make you pastor. So this is going to be my installation during the first song. During that time, again, go and take communion. Just take some bread, and then there's wine, and there's grape juice. And just simply enjoy the blessings that God gives, that He gives us His bread and wine, which is His body and His blood. It's what we call the real presence. That God says, I'm going to be with you. And it's not just in some symbolic way. It's in a real way. And He does that for us today. Because on the night when Christ was betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and He gave it to His disciples. And He said, take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in the same way also, after supper, He took the cup. He gave thanks, and He gave it to them. And He said, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant. It's in my blood, and it's shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Every time you drink it, remember me. I pray that you are blessed by this time. And then during the second song, I just invite, for those, I think, you know if you're on the board of directors, because I sent you all emails. So during the second song, don't wait for me. Just come right on up. And we're going to lay hands on you as we continue the communion. And during the two songs, we should be able to commune everyone, and then we'll finish up. And we're going to have the kids come and find their seats with their family members, too. They can do that right now. So come on in, guys. While you're coming in, I'll pray. Lord, thank you again for this time to gather, to worship, to sing, to praise, to love you, to be blessed by you, to receive such great power from you. And so we now give this time to you of communion. We set it aside for your purpose and for your direction in our life. And thank you, Lord, for the chance to lay hands on people. And thank you to those who have decided to serve and give themselves in service and take this chair. Thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand.
worship on there too. Yeah. Yeah, right. So we can worship. Yeah.
Thank you.
on this journey called life, and we follow you as we keep you in the center of our lives, Lord. We're going to follow. Wherever you lead, we will follow. And thank you for this day of a great celebration. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We've got one final song. It's a great song. I will follow. You guys can head on back, and we're going to join together in this final song.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow.
Says you were here. We love. We got a bunch of food. Someone brought a big old fruit thingy over there. You got to eat that. And you got to stay and get to know some of the people. So God bless you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for making this a great time.